What a joy and a delight it is to be here. I used to have a habit of saying that I'd rather be here than the best hospital in town, but I found out we got a lot of nurses here, so I ain't gonna say that no more. I said it once at Georgia Baptist Hospital, and not again. I'm like Peter. I say something and think later. And I'm in Georgia Baptist Hospital, and we had prayed with a driver who had been critically injured in a wreck, and God spared his life. Actually, he should have been killed. And I said that, and the nurse said, "You are in the best hospital in town." Oh. Tonight we want to talk a little bit from Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, presenting yourself to God. Presenting yourself to God. Am I too loud? Okay, if I can hear it, it's loud. We're doing good. Praise the Lord. Presenting yourself to God. Let's read that together. I'm reading out the NIV. Yours may be a little bit different, but this is a South Georgia edition. We didn't walk up to somebody and say, "How art thou?" We say, "How y'all doing?" Yeah. Get the same thing accomplished. They didn't do that in North Carolina either, did they? Okay. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers," he's talking to Christians, right? Talking to us. "In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices." Notice that. "Holy and pleasing to God." This is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Notice the ing on that word. The renewing of your mind. "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." One thing is just a kind of a side note. You can be in God's will and go to heaven. If you're born again, you're going to heaven. Granted, we know that, right? Amen? But you're not necessarily in God's perfect will. Now, we're not going to be perfect. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There used to be a church on the radio in Atlanta called The Perfect Church. And I listened to them critically all the time. Jan got on to me for doing that. But they say, "Be ye perfect even as I am perfect." If you're not perfect, you're not saved. Well, I don't find that in here. But I want to talk about it. Think about it for a minute. If we want to be in the center of his perfect will, or at least I do. I want all the blessings I can get. Amen? And we're not talking about just money and stuff. I'm talking about blessing. I'm talking about being just here tonight enjoying this wonderful music and just fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Brother Eddie, y'all do a fantastic job. I thank you for that. I love the music here. And Mandy, and these girls, wow. Isn't that awesome, the talent that's here? And they have done what I consider presenting yourself to God. You said, "Here I am, use me," right? "Here I am, use me." When you present yourself to God, you're not your own anymore. You just gave yourself away. At weddings, they say, "Who gives this bride to be married to this man?" Right? Who gives her away? We use that term, give her away. I'm trying to give her back. No. Trying to find out where she came from. No. I'm in trouble. It's going to be a long ride home. But you're not yours anymore. She's not hers anymore. I'm not mine anymore. Even in marriage. Amen? We've committed to each other. So when we commit ourselves to Christ, know, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have received from God? He came and take over by body, right? You're not your own. Verse 20 says you were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. When you present yourself to God, start honoring him with your body. How we dress. Hello. How we act. Now, I was born and raised in a, I probably shouldn't say this going on tape, but I'm going to say it anyway. I was born and raised in what's called a holiness church, and I don't want to take away from anybody. Don't misunderstand me. But that was the type that measured your holiness by what you wore. You know what I'm saying? By what your hairstyle was like. I remember when my mama cut her hair, thought it was going to run her out of town. I'm serious. She had the here, way up here for a long time. Because of that, when I got out of my adolescent years, we were raised extremely poor. I don't mind saying that. We were rich in love, but as far as worldly things, we didn't have anything. My daddy died when I was 3, and Mama had 6 boys to raise, and she had a third grade education. We were literal cotton pickers. I get offended when somebody called cotton picker. You know, that's me. But I kept hearing about a God that, you know, is going to knock your head off if you do something wrong. You know, you're just some God of hate. And I was taught from the pulpit that, you know, that all the rich people are going to hell because they got all that money, because the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And it does say that, doesn't it? But it says the love of money. And so I got out of the church as soon as I got. I said I was going to do two things I'm never going to do again. If I ever get grown, I'm never going to church again, and I'm never going to wear somebody else's overalls. I was the 6th of 6 sons. Guess who didn't get any new ones? I managed not to wear somebody else's overalls, but the other one kind of fell by the side. Now I don't care whose overalls it was, I'm glad to get them. But after many years of wandering around in the wilderness, so to speak, Jan and I became born-again Christians in 1971, December the 19th for me, to be exact. And I presented myself to God, even though I hadn't read this scripture yet. And what I did was, in a spiritual act of worship, I said, God, and I do remember saying this, God, if there's anything in my life worthwhile, it's yours. I have made a total mess out of it. And I he would say, amen, God, probably. I know his grace is sufficient because I'm here. Now, no, I wasn't any worse sinner than nobody else. You were just as bad a sinner as I was, so don't look at me like that. You're either lost or saved. You're not loster or saveder, okay, contrary to popular belief. There was a while when you had the more gory testimony you had, the more righteous you was. You remember hearing about, you know, we went through that period of time, and my daughter came to me one day, and whom I love very much. She's daddy's girl. She's Mrs. Harnage now, but she's still my baby. And she said, Daddy, I don't have a testimony to share. And I said, baby, you got the best testimony of anybody. You talk about God's keeping grace. You don't need to talk about deliverance from this, that, and the other. I went down to Macon. I wasn't here this morning to hear this wonderful message. I went down to meet a longtime friend of mine's son. You know you're getting old when you minister to your friend's son, who is also a truck driver. And his daddy taught me a lot about trucking, a lot about driving, and taught me self-confidence. I owed a debt, and I was able to pay that some of that back. Went down and met with him in Macon, and we were talking about life, and his life was in total disarray. He said, I love God. I know I'm born again. But he said, I'm like at a mountain. And he said, I keep going around and around and around this mountain, but I never go up any. I'm still at the bottom. And I talked to Greg about presenting yourself to God. Say, here, I'm yours. And don't start comparing yourself to somebody else. You may be climbing the mountain and not realize it. Because Satan don't let you look at the progress. He lets you look at the failure. Amen? He always wants you to look at the bad side. We're not our own anymore. We belong to God, and therefore, I'm following his instructions the best I can. If I can lay my head down at night and say I've done the best I could today, then I'm okay. And I'm one to criticize myself, so that's hard for me. But I say, Lord, I've done my best. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. You can become slave of a habit or slave of trying to be good. You can be a slave of church. I come to church because I want to. Amen? I come here to be fed. It's not a ritual to me, and I'm happy to be a member of a church that a whole bunch of people comes here because they want to. Well, that's what I feel. Jan and I visit churches all over the country, literally, of several different denominations. And I've been to some social clubs, too, some of the best. Amen. Amen. Boy, no, we ain't going there, Lord. I'm sorry. He'll deal with that. I know when I was a driver on the road, I would try to go to church. I would try to find a place to fellowship. And this is why Truck Stop Ministries was started in the beginning. In fact, this is our 24th anniversary this month, in the month of March. And I would stop sometimes and see a church where I could park the truck and jump out of the truck. And I remember one time I won't say where. They may get the tape, even though it was a long time ago. And I parked my truck at a closed service station and jumped out and walked across. And I had stopped and taken a shower, even used underarm deodorant for the occasion, and went across the street, this humongous church. And I love God's house. It ought to be the prettiest house in town. I believe that. It ought to be the prettiest house in town. It belongs to my father. And I go bop it over there with my Bible. Even had a King James then. That's the one Paul used. So anyway, I go bopping over there. And I walk up to the brethren at the door, and they act like I had leprosy. I mean, literally, they give me the longest handshake you ever saw. Looking back, I wish I'd have grabbed him and hugged his neck. In Jesus' name, of course. No sarcasm, just kind of give him a hug. I had on Western clothes, my boots, and I thought I was dressed to the hilt. Well, I didn't have a $500 Johnny Carson suit on, so it wasn't part of that group. But you know, I go in there and I listen to the pastor, and I could draw from the message no matter what their attitude was. You know that? Because I come to hear the word. Or I could go in there and be critical of what was going on, or turn around and walk off. But that's my father's house, and I know I'm welcome there by him. Maybe not the crowd, but by him. God bought us with a price. He paid a high price for you and me. So we need to give him our all, everything, not just a little bit. I said, Lord, here it is, it's yours, as is, where is. And I didn't give him nothing. I didn't have anything to give. Look in Romans, back up Romans 8. I want us to read this couple of three verses here together, Romans chapter 8. When we present ourselves to God, we're to give him control. And this is a presentation, by the way. We're going to look at presentation, separation, and then transformation tonight, real quick. Romans 8, 5 through 8. See, when we present ourselves to God, he doesn't take away our person, does he? He doesn't take away our identity. He doesn't make us robots, if you please. But in Romans 8, 5 through 8, says this, those who live according to the spirit, to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. And how many knows everybody in this building's got a sinful nature? I said this one time, and a guy like to faint it. I said, Billy Graham's got a sinful nature. And he went, because he's a human. Amen? Every human. Now, watch this, though. If we live according to the nature, in other words, if it's in control, but those who live in accordance to the Spirit, capital S, notice that, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Which one do you want? The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature, what? Cannot please God. How many wants to please God? I do. Amen. I do. And so we're learning, and it's a growing process in my life. I don't know about yours, but it's a growing learning process in my life to get this flesh under control of the Spirit. I've learned also a lot of that is just what I said, presenting myself to God, said, here, I'm yours. I don't want to have any control. And he will check you to see if you're serious. A real brief part of my testimony is, of course, we were already born again, and I'd finally gotten a job that was more like a position than a job, driving a truck, Jimmy. And people would ask me, you still got your position over there at Brand Brothers? And I'd say, oh, yeah. I'm breathing, aren't I? In fact, I told Mr. Brand about 3 weeks before I gave him my resignation. I said, I'm here forever. It won't do you no good to fire me. I'll come back and work for nothing. I'm here because I love my job that much. And, of course, I remember going down to Florida Turnpike. That used to be my worship and praise time, Brother Eddie. I'd get go through the booth on at Wildwood, get on there, and what you got, 260 miles of nothing. And I'd set that big Caterpillar in the wind, you know, and mash the cruise button and just sit back and relax and turn on my tape. And, you know, I remember promising God all the stuff because I got a great job. I got retirement. I got, you know, and all this stuff. Everything's going great. My chicken lights are burning bright. That don't mean nothing to you? You don't get no better than that, running a bunch of trucks down the road at night with a whole lot of, that's marker lights for those that don't know. And I had them from one end to the other on that truck, chicken lights. And I remember this worship and praise song, and Brother Eddie, you may know this. It goes something like, I'm yours, Lord, everything I am, everything I'm not, I'm yours. And the dumb statement is, test me now and see if I can be completely yours. Well, shoot, I had the world by the tail, so to speak, and I would, you know, praise God and sing that. Then one day, coming home from a run, I'll never forget it, had a brand new truck. The boss had just bought me a brand new trailer to match, and I had the keys in my pocket anytime I wasn't driving it. And I was singing my song, doing my thing. Hallelujah, you know, having a ball, serving the Lord. And God spoke to my heart very clearly and said, when you get home, turn in your notice, you're through there. And of course, being holy and sanctified and all those words you can come up with, I said, are you crazy or what? That's a good way to respond to God. Surely I didn't hear God. He wouldn't mess up a good thing. But you see, I had presented myself to God more so than I even realized when I said, I'm yours, Lord. And I mean that. Well, he found out. And of course, unlike you, I know when the Lord speaks to your heart, you just jump up and go do it. Me, I'm a little bit stubborn. Just a little. So we prayed about that and got the same answer. It's over. So we did that, and I thank God for it. So we have our presentation. Then we have separation. Separating ourselves from the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17 tells us, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Let me ask you this, born again Christians. How much has your life changed since you were born again? Your habits, where you hang out, the music you listen to. Remember when all the, I'm sure you remember, started doing a lot of research in rock music and that, and we learned about backward masking. How many know, done any research in that, backward masking? And I was telling my children now, you can't listen to this, and it's bad. And of course, my music was okay, because it was from the 60s. It was okay. You know who introduced backward masking to the United States? The Beatles in the 60s. And I said, do what? Throw that report away. I don't want that one. That's too close to home. Separation. Then I had a choice. See, when I learned that about my music that I was listening to, I had a choice. Do I keep listening to it? Now I'm informed. I got to act on it. I got to either act on it or reject it. So I got rid of it. And I'm not bragging on it. Jeremiah 7:3 says, reform your ways and your actions. Reform your ways. What does that mean? Change. So not only are we born again, not only do we change spiritually, as we grow, we should be changing physically in every kind of way. Totally submitting to God. So how has your life been transformed or changed since you got saved? Now, transformation. That should be a tremendous transformation. Verse 2 said, what did verse 2 say? I turned my page, I'm sorry. Verse 2 said, don't conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember I said, look at the suffix on the word renew. English teachers in here? Oh my, I knew I had to watch her. I despised it going to school. I shouldn't say that in front of these young people, but when I got saved, you know what? I love it. And why is because the Lord taught me to look at the tense of a sentence, where it's past, present, or future. Also, look at the suffix on that word, renewing. That indicates, and correct me if that's wrong, but it's an ongoing. That tells me my mind will never be renewed. So those of you, I feel like I'm speaking to somebody here tonight, that you're trying your best to live for God and things just keep popping up. And as my friend told me today, I'm just going around and around this mountain and not getting up it. Because Satan is putting that garbage in our mind. You see, you can read something. I can read this print here and that goes in my mind. Well, everything I read goes in my mind. And what Satan wants to put in there, he likes to play up there. Maybe not yours, but mine for sure. He likes to play there. So I've learned something, is that how I can change the way I think or the renewing of my mind. If I have this transformation, I've got to change the core of it. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by what? Come on, help me. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by? So I learned something. If I don't hear it, it's not going in my spirit. Hey, write that down. That sounds like a lyric to a song. Get poetic here. But if you don't, whatever you hear goes into your spirit, man, and it's there forever. So I learned something. Satan can't get in there. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. Amen? And he will not cohabitate with the devil. It's not going to happen. So whatever I hear goes in my spirit, man. And Satan knows that. He says faith cometh by hearing. Satan knows that. So he takes everything God does, if you notice, and reverses it for him, which means fear comes by hearing. Think about that. What we hear, if Satan can get us to listen to it, be it a TV program, be it a record, be it whatever, or somebody talking, whatever you hear goes in your spirit. And so we go on to find out that Matthew 12:34 says, out of the overflow or the abundance of the heart, what happens? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the more garbage I put in my spirit, be it where I sit and watch TV program I shouldn't, and don't get me wrong, we got TVs all over the place, just like most of you, and I'm not saying throw that out because that's not the answer. That's only the tip of the iceberg. But what you do need to do is take that little control button and mash the button. You don't have to get up no more. I've laid the motel room too lazy to get up and change it. Have a talk show on that's boring me to death, but I'd lay in there in the bed and say, well, it'll go off after a while. That's bad, ain't it? Where's the remote? Anybody found a remote? We lost one of the remotes in the coach the other day, and it was frantic search. Where's the remote? We can't change the TV. It's way up there. But we need to have enough about us, enough God in us, to mash the button. Jan and I have a pact that if I'm watching something and I'm really interested in it, I may not notice when they start using four-letter words that I don't need. And so she'll make mention. They cuss. Click. You say, well, what do you watch? Very little. But my spirit man does not need that. Neither does yours. So how can I change that? Simple. Put more in your spirit, more of the Word of God in your spirit than the world's junk is going in. As simple as the old computer thing. Garbage in, garbage out. We get born again and our spirit is emptied. It's like the new laptop I got. It's a wonderful, well, more or less wonderful, machine. But you know what? When we first got it, I hooked it up to the system at the truck stop and mass print. Guess what came out? Nothing. Why? Nothing been put in it. Our spirit life is the same thing. When we become born again, number one, we're contrary to what we've always done already. It's already a change. But if we don't fill it with the Word of God, if this transformation doesn't happen and transforming from what we used to listen to the new, we're going to get the same old answer. And I know Christians today, we get a prayer line, and sometimes we jump up and run out here, by the way, it's not the service bad, we've got the prayer line. And we want somebody answering it all the time. But we get questions from born-again Christians that are so frustrated with their life, and you start getting into it, and you find out, one, they don't have time to read the Bible. That sound familiar? I say, are you born again? Yes. In other words, if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? Yes, I know that. When's the last time you studied the Word? Well, I think it was last week sometime. And for a trucker, I put it this way. What if you didn't fuel your truck more often than that? Well, I'd run out of fuel. And I said, well, bingo. Your spiritual life has run out of fuel. Doesn't mean it's still a truck, but it's sitting side of the road, useless. Useless. We get out of church sometimes. It's like taking a charcoal, a white-hot charcoal, because most of y'all got gas now, but some of us still old-fashioned. Take that white-hot charcoal, put it off to the side in the grill by itself. What happens to it? It immediately starts cooling off. It's still a charcoal. It's still in the grill, but it's no use to the griller. You put that charcoal back where it was, it starts drawing from the ones around it, and it gets hot. That, to me, is coming to church. That, to me, is why I need to be here in church. I need to get fed. So that transformation in my life includes telling my flesh, no, we're not going to sit around here. We're going to get up and go to church. Jan had me cutting limbs all day yesterday at our new place, and I wasn't sure I was going to be able to get up this morning, let alone go somewhere. And then over dinner last night, I realized I was supposed to speak at First Baptist this morning at 8 o'clock, and I thought, oh, Lord. Some of y'all asked about the early service. I thought 10:30 was the early service. Crying out loud. Don't want to get up before God does. But we made it, thanks to Tylenol and several other things. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. The key word here, I don't have time to elaborate on, but the key word there is in Christ. Are you in Christ? I didn't say, are you born again? I said, are you in Christ? You understand? Get into the Word. Dig into it. This is the most fascinating book I have ever got a hold of in my life. It's just awesome. Been reading it since 71, and every now and then I think somebody rewrote it. It gets better and better and better. Or as we'd say in South Georgia, it gets gooder. I mean, I believe it from cover to cover. My favorite book is the Bible. My favorite verse is between Genesis and Revelation. Pick one. I love it. So if we get in Christ, if I'm in Christ, one is I want to study the Word, and two, I want to get in church and fellowship with the brothers and sisters. And again, Jan and I are so excited and humble and thankful to be a part of Macedonia Baptist Church. I am. I mean that with all of my heart. I can't hardly wait to get here the next time. And that's the truth. I can't hardly wait. I just love it when I get around my brothers and sisters in Christ, because I'm drawing from you. We've been out there in the field, so to speak, all week long, or all 2 weeks, or however long it might be. And I come back here and see your smiling faces and all that, and it just blesses me. I just start feeling better just coming in. I'm serious. You're ministering to me. You don't have to get up here to minister. Hello? You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to sing to minister, obviously. I get requests not to sing. I checked my mic while ago to make sure I didn't turn it on by accident. That'd be the great exodus. Everybody be leaving. That's all right. They just don't have class. I'm ahead of my time. That's all it is. I could be in rock and roll. Can you understand that anyway? 1 Corinthians 15:58. I would say we'll close with this, but that don't mean nothing, you know. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. When you presented yourself to God, you get in the Word of God and simply stand. It says, let almost nothing move you. You know what that says? What does that say? Let nothing move you. But God, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, yeah? You ever been nailed to a cross? Oh. Let nothing move you. And don't get me wrong. You know, again, I'm a big mouth. I'm a bucket mouth on the CB. And no, I ain't going to turn it off. I thought CB meant Christian Broadcasting. The way our ministry started was on a CB radio in a truck. And I began to tell people about Jesus. And, of course, I got some flack, quite a bit of flack sometimes, got threatened. And, again, being the big mouth I am, and I'm a coward by nature, honest. Honest. I'm a non-confrontational type person. And I heard this mouth say, yeah, I'd be cheering about the Lord. And somebody say, if you don't shut up, I'm going to shoot you or whatever. And I said, well, good, where you at? We'll find out. I was sharing with another brother one night going up the interstate. And again, gets tired of these stories, but some of y'all hadn't heard them all yet. So we get a rerun. But I'll never forget. And I really wasn't out to upset nobody. I was encouraging the driver that I was talking to. And most time I never see these people. We're just on the radio, okay? Still do it in the coach. God gave us a whale of a radio in that coach. You'd have reached out and touched somebody, Jimmy. So anyway, it was given to us. Connex 33. And anyway, I was sharing with this brother in the Lord, and I was encouraging him to make a stand for God and not worry about it, because if you're standing for God, if you're doing what God called you to do, you're covered. Amen? Period. That's what that verse tells me. Let nothing move you. And the guy in front of me, he said something to effect he was going to shoot me or whatever. And I was sharing a situation with this guy about where I was threatened in Dallas, Texas one time. That's right. And just to encourage the other fella. And he said, the only reason he didn't shoot you is he didn't have any guts. This voice came on the radio, right? And I heard this mouth say, you got any guts? I thought, what did I say that for? He ain't talking to me. Well, long story short, I offered to stop and see if it would work. Now, please understand, I don't want to sound like a hero. I'm a coward by nature. But I found out something. This word's not wrong. Hello? Not wrong. And we can stand on this infallible word of God. Now, you don't have to go that far with it, maybe. But it may come today in America that we may get to that point. Folks, you better get ready. We better get ready, because before this trip that we're on is over, we may see some of that. We may get some hostile threats where people say, you know, do you love God? It may cost some of us our life. But I also know one thing. Even if it did, I win. I go home to be with Jesus. So in our presentation, we want to stand firm, let nothing move us. But first thing first, are you born again? Are you born again? Think about that. If you're not, I pray tonight before you leave this building that you are. And no, you don't have to become like me. I can hear you thinking, I don't want to be like him. I don't either. But I tell you what, I want to be just like God wants me to be. And I don't care where it's at, what it's doing. You know, I love to tell prostitutes when I run up with them that God loves you. I love to tell those people who are down and out, been beaten down by the world and by some goody-two-shoes Christian. Hello? You ever happen to think, by the grace of God, that could be my daughter. Could be your daughter. Could be your daughter. That's somebody's little girl. Somebody's daughter. And I love to go tell them about Jesus. I love to tell the drug addict, the drug pusher, God loves you. It don't matter what you're doing. He still loves you. You're not going to go to heaven unless you get born again, but he loves you just the same. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us for a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God. What does that mean? Imitate means to act like. So what we need to do is study the life of Jesus and follow that as best we can. Imitate him. Act like him. So, after presenting yourself to Christ, becoming born again, saying, Lord, I'm yours, use me at your disposal, however you want to say it, then we need to learn how to live a life that's pleasing to him. It's a great honor to be called a Christian to me. It's a great honor. Once I was a member of an organization, a Christian businessman group in Atlanta, and we would go once a month for a prayer breakfast in downtown Atlanta. And the Lord, one of our friends was a multi-millionaire, and he loved God with all of his heart. If Mr. Watkins says five words to you, three of them will be, are you saved? I guarantee you that. And I was coming down the elevator from this meeting one day and had him and another gentleman that's worth that much more. And I got off that elevator, and my head was about this big because they would call me Joe. We were buddies. And I was walking across that parking lot. I'm not going to do that. I would walk across that parking lot, and God began to speak to my heart. And he said, what's wrong with just being known as my son instead of being their friend? What's more important, that people know you as their friend or my son? That changed my life forever, folks. I don't care anymore. I don't have an image anymore. It's all about him. And I want to bring glory and honor to him in every way I can. Because don't ever compare yourself to somebody else. No two people are alike. No two people are alike. We compliment one another. Supposed to, anyway. We never complain, never, no. We don't ever have arguments. We have intense fellowship sometimes. We have presented ourselves to God and said, here I am, use me. Would you do that tonight? If you hadn't already, I want you to consider just simply come down in front. Eddie, how are we going to handle it? Just if you want to come down front, whatever you want to do, pray, recommit your life, whatever you want to call it. But in your heart, you can do it right where you're at. They said, Lord, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at with you. I want to get closer to you.